I'm going to ask if you'll turn with me this morning to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. The prophecy according to Daniel. If you have difficulty finding that, if you can find Ezekiel, Daniel is right behind. Find Isaiah and Jeremiah and Lamentations and Ezekiel and then Daniel. We call Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel the major prophets because they were wordy. They were long-winded. And their books of prophecy are very long. The ones that follow from Ezekiel to the end of the New Testament, Daniel, Hosea, Micah, Nahum, Zechariah, and those fellows, we call the minor prophets because of the size of their writings. Daniel is perhaps one of the most significant, one of the most important of the minor prophets. We're going to be reading this morning from the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel. By way of background, let me just explain that Daniel was a young Hebrew man who had been taken, he and his family, as were most of the Jews, in the captivity and taken away to Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar and his armies had come in and destroyed Judah, had won a military victory over them, left a few behind in slavery, but took the majority of the Hebrew people to Babylon, into captivity, into slavery. Babylon, in that day, was the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. You'll remember from your world history, which you studied in high school, that the Babylonian Empire was a magnificent one. It was grand in its majesty and in its power. Its armies were without peer anywhere on the face of the earth. The intellect of the Babylonian people were without peer. They were the envy of the entire known world at that time, and they held all of the world in subjection. The one who was the head and sat on the pinnacle of this grandiose empire was a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was one of the young men who had gone with the Hebrews into Babylonian captivity. He had found favor in Nebuchadnezzar's court because he had been given by God the gift of interpretation of dreams. And on a previous occasion, he had been used by God to interpret dreams for the king. We find a similar circumstance in the story that we're going to read today. But I want us, as we are rejoicing in our independence and as we are remembering the 4th of July, 1776, when our forefathers, our ancestors, declared that they were an independent nation, that England had not fulfilled its commitments to the colonies and had rather attempted to put the colonies under subjection, that they had not fulfilled their obligations, that these 13 colonies would declare their independence from England. And as we're remembering the foundation of our country, and how God has so richly blessed us, certainly in all of the history of mankind, there has never been a people that has been so richly blessed as a nation. There have been parts of nations, the ruling classes, for example, who have enjoyed very much blessing, but as far as the entire nation receiving the blessing of God, there has not been one other than, of course, biblical Israel that has enjoyed the blessing of God in the same way that the United States has. At the same time, as we're remembering that today, I want us to look beyond our national heritage to a heritage that is of significantly greater importance. Beginning to read in the fourth verse, the words of Nebuchadnezzar. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in mine palace. In other words, everything I had was under control. I was enjoying the blessings of all that I had. I rested and I flourished. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians and the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. You'll remember that Nebuchadnezzar had renamed Daniel and had given him the name Belteshazzar, which was indicative of or represented the name of Nebuchadnezzar's God. And in whom is the spirit of the holy gods? And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and that no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat or food for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. In other words, an angelic minister. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him, or 7 years time pass. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and scattereth and setteth up over it the basest, or as the margin says, the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now what was the dream? He saw a great tree. It was very strong and very high. It was so high, he said, that everybody on the face of the earth could see it, that it was in sight all the way to the end of the earth. It had fair leaves on it and very much fruit. There was food there for everybody. The tree was so magnificent that under it all of the animals of the field could come and find shelter, and in it all of the fowl of the air could find shelter as well. An angel came and spoke clearly and said, cut down the tree, take the branches of it off, leave the stump, however, so that everybody on the face of the earth will know that it's God who rules in the kingdom of men, and that he it is who sets up over his earthly kingdoms whomever he pleases and whomever he desires, and even on occasion he establishes as kings over men the lowest of people. Not necessarily the most noble, but rather the lowest. Nebuchadnezzar now is asking Daniel, give me the interpretation of the dream. Verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. In other words, he went into a type of a trance, if you will. He was in a condition where he did not speak. And his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. In other words, this dream is bad news for you, good news for those who hate you. The interpretation of it will be a rejoicing to those who hate you. Verse 20, he begins the interpretation. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into the heaven and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much, And in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. Now, as we hear the interpretation, you must understand and realize the courage that this man Daniel had, that he would even bring this kind of an interpretation forth. Verse 25, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. And so here is the interpretation. Daniel said, O king, you are the tree. It represents you and your kingdom. It's a great and magnificent kingdom, and it grows very tall and it's extremely strong. Everybody from all corners of the known world can see it. They all know about Babylon. There is food there and provision for all. You rule the entire world. The beasts of the field even take shelter, and the birds of the air. But the interpretation is that God says that your kingdom is going to be taken from you. The tree cutting down represents the taking of the kingdom away from you. You are going to have the heart of a beast instead of the heart of a man. And you're going to be driven into the pastures with the cows. You're going to eat grass. Can you imagine this going on in the palace at Babylon? You'll be eating grass until it finally gets through to you that it's God who rules in the kingdom of men, and that he gives it to whomsoever he will. You are going to have to determine, king, that it's the heavens that rule in the affairs of men. It's got to get through to you that the reason you happen to be the king over Babylon is that God established you to be the king. And he could have taken even the lowest of men and made him king. It's not that you're something special. It's that God's something special, and he has chosen you to rule in this particular time. Until you figure that out, you're going to eat grass like a cow, and we'll see how important you are then. Now in verse 27, here's a very interesting verse, and I think there's some insight in here for us. Daniel now speaks after giving the interpretation. He says, wherefore, O king, or in other words, because of all this, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. In other words, Daniel is saying, now, king, let me give you some godly counsel. Let your sins be replaced by righteousness. Let your iniquities be replaced by mercy. And if you do that, your tranquility and your rest will be lengthened. It will be continued. As I was reading this, I was impressed of the importance that the Christian community ought to place upon speaking words of righteousness to our government. That we have a responsibility to counsel those that are in authority over us as to the benefits of doing righteousness. Now, I'm not talking about marching. I'm not talking about sitting on the courthouse steps. I am not a marcher. I am not a courthouse step sitter. But on Tuesday morning, I do have the opportunity to offer the opening prayer for the county commissioners meeting up here at the Douglas County Courthouse. And I intend to use that pulpit. as an opportunity to speak in prayer to those who are in authority over us as to the benefits to our county of righteousness and mercy and showing good to the poor, that will have a lengthening of our tranquility. Did you notice here that when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, he was at rest in his palace? Daniel says, now I'm going to give you some guidance and some instruction here how you can prolong that rest. I'm going to give you some insight how your tranquility and your peace and your rest and how you may enjoy that flourishing for an extended period of time. And that is if you will turn your sins into righteousness and you will turn your iniquity into mercy. The choir sang this morning, if my people will humble themselves and pray, God said, I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive your sins and I'll heal your land. There is a benefit, beloved, to a land, to a nation, to a people, when its people and its leadership do righteousness. Now, do not misunderstand me. I'm not talking about haranguing our public officials, but I am talking about being salt. I'm talking about being light. I'm talking about as we have opportunity, as you have opportunity to write your congressmen and to write your senators and to write your president, that you would write them from time to time and encourage them in the things that they're doing that you see that are right. And that perhaps you would express yourself on those things that you see that are dangerous. Daniel said, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you, that there may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Well, let's see what happened and see whether Nebuchadnezzar took this advice and took this counsel. Verse number 28. All this came upon the king, Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of 12 months, when it would seem that the dream and the interpretation thereof was not quite as fresh or sharp in his remembrance. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Now, Daniel had said to him, King, the dream means that your kingdom is going to be taken from you. You're going to be like a cow. You're going to go into the field and you're going to eat grass like an ox until it gets through to you that you are ruling by permission of God. I believe this is a message that all of us need to hear and we need to know. We need to know that those that are ruling over us are ruling by the permission of God. And if they don't rule according to the way God wants them to rule, He, if He wants to, will send them into the field to munch grass like a cow on all fours. I believe we need to speak to our elected officials, and I believe we need to let them know from the Word of God that they rule by the grace and the permission of Almighty God. Here's a man, Nebuchadnezzar, who was the most important cat on the face of the earth. There was no one as great or as magnificent as he was, and as he viewed his kingdom, the pride of his heart welled up and came out of his mouth and said, isn't this magnificent Babylon which I have built by my power and for my majesty? Who was his God? He was. Verse number 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. You see, the judgment had not fallen until he pulled it down on himself with his own pride. And they shall drive thee from men. This is heaven still speaking. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour, it didn't take long for judgment to be fulfilled. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. You say, Pastor, it didn't really happen like that, did it? It's just kind of a myth. Don't you kid yourself. You say, did it happen exactly like that? I say, yes, it happened exactly like that. You say, how do you know it happened exactly like that? I say, the Bible says so. You say, well, how do you know that the Bible recorded that accurately? Because every other thing that the Bible recorded that I have had an opportunity to test has been true. And there's no reason for me to think that this is not also true. And so here is the most magnificent man on the face of the earth, robed in all sorts of finery and with servants to do his every bidding. And here he is now on all fours eating grass like a cow. Can you imagine the shame of it? Can you imagine what a humbling experience that would be? Most people have difficulty getting on their knees before God. Can you imagine getting on your face before a cow? Eating grass. 7 years without a haircut. His hair got so long it was like eagle's feathers. 7 years without a nail clipper, and his fingernails got so long they were like talons on a bird. 7 years without ever being able to speak to another person. 7 years without communication with anybody in the human race. 7 years without the expression of love or affection or tenderness. 7 years he lived the life of an animal. He went from the top to the bottom in the twinkling of an eye because God said, I'm the one who is in charge of what's going on. I set up who I want and I take down who I choose. And let there be no confusion about that. Let the living know and let you, Nebuchadnezzar, know that the reason that you are in the position you are in is because I put you there and I may remove you just as quickly. Our elected officials need to know that. You ought not to be a threat. I'll tell you, if I were an elected official, that would be a great comfort to me. To know that it was God who had put me there. And that it was God that was watching over what I had done. Verse 34, and remember the stump that was left? Remember the root that was still there? Remember the tree was cut down, but the stump was left. You ever try to kill a wild cherry tree? Cut it off at the stump, or an oak tree, and it just keeps coming and coming and coming. That's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, apparently, according to the will of God in this instance. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. Notice the sequence there. When he looked towards God, his understanding returned. Do you see the sequence? Here he is on all fours in the field munching grass, and for some unknown reason, he looks towards heaven. And as he does, casting the eyes of his heart upon the God of heaven, his understanding returned. And the first thing he did when his understanding returned was, I blessed the Most High. You see, he did not run right away to his palace, but the first thing in his heart and in his mind was, I have got to praise this God. Because, not because I've eaten grass like a cow for 7 years, but because this God is worthy of praise. There was no bitterness in his heart. He was not angry as to what had happened to him. He apparently had a change in his heart. I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar had learned a very important lesson, that God's kingdom is above and beyond all earthly kingdoms. His dominion is beyond all of the most magnificent and finest of all of the earthly kingdoms. There's never been one like his. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me. The very ones that had driven him out now came to find him. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now you see, as soon as he got his heart straightened out, God put him back in the same place he was before. But now his attitude was completely different. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Good chapter, isn't it? Good insight from the Word of God. Many other places in the Word of God do we see that same principle. If you'll read on, you'll read in the fifth chapter of Daniel how Nebuchadnezzar's descendant, about 30 years later or so, a man by the name of Belshazzar, was eating and drinking and making merry with all of his friends in his palace, and he was using the goblets that had come from the house of God in Jerusalem. And you remember a hand came? We see the science fiction, you know, this Bible is better than any of this science fiction stuff. There was a hand came, and while they were eating and drinking out of the goblets that were meant to be used in the temple of God, here appears this armless, bodiless hand on a wall, and it writes, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsis. Well, now that would be bad enough to just see those. Who knows what that means? That would scare you, wouldn't it? You don't know what that means. He didn't know what it meant either until Daniel came and explained to him what it meant. It meant that your time has come and the kingdom has departed from you and the jig is up, in essence. And so it was that before the night was over, Belshazzar was a dead man. If you'll read the ninth chapter of the book of Exodus, you will find that God spoke through Moses about Pharaoh and said, I have raised you up for the purpose that all men should know that I am God Almighty. I've let you live just for that reason and just for that purpose. And so we see that all through the Word of God. And as we are rejoicing today to be free people, as we are reveling in the remembrance that we are a free nation and enjoying the blessings of our independence, as we remember with very much gratitude those that gave their lives to provide this freedom for us and also to preserve it, let us never lose sight of the fact that the reason that this country is free is because God Almighty has established it to be so. And then never let us forget that there is another kingdom, lest we should begin to worship this one. You know, there are very many in our country who worship the flag, who worship our system of government, who worship this land. This land is not worthy of worship. It is not worthy. Only one is, and that is God. Only one kingdom is worthy of our eternal allegiance, and that is the kingdom of God. I believe to be a Christian means that one will be a good citizen. I believe it's important that we honor our flag. I believe it's important that if necessary, that we would fight and die to preserve what God has given us. But I believe it's improper for us to worship it. There's only one kingdom that is worthy of our everlasting allegiance. There's only one kingdom that has a dominion that is forever and ever. Daniel saw it in his book. Let's turn over to the seventh chapter of Daniel and let me show you something here. I believe we'll close with this passage. I wore my red, white, and blue today, so nobody would think that I didn't love our country. If you come by our house tomorrow, you'll see the flag flying. I'm a flag waver. I don't want you to misunderstand. Seventh chapter of the book of Daniel, the ninth verse, and beginning to read there. Daniel had seen a vision. It was a vision of several beasts, and one of the beasts had a number of horns, you'll recall. And he's inquiring about that and getting some revelation on it. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, that is, earthly thrones. Did you know that every earthly throne will eventually be destroyed? If you put your eternal confidence in the throne that exists in Washington, it's going to be destroyed, yours with it. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, 100 million. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, and I beheld even until the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning fire. As concerning the rest of the beasts, talking here about earthly dominions now, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now, you see who he's referring to there? One like as the Son of Man. Who's he talking about there? Jesus. When we say he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, his kingdom is forever. He's the King over all kings. We sang this morning, all hail King Jesus. He is worthy to be worshipped. He is worthy to be honored. He is worthy to be praised today and tomorrow and every day forever and ever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And that which God has given to him will never, 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 never be taken from him. If you put your trust in Jesus, you are a citizen of a kingdom that does not have any ups and downs. You're a citizen of a kingdom that has only ups. You are a citizen of a kingdom that is victorious. You're the citizen of a kingdom that always wins its wars. You're the citizen of a kingdom that will forever be victorious. Now I want to give you some more good news. Do you have enough patience to listen to me read 2 or 3 more verses? I, Daniel, was grieved. I'm going to give you some really good news now. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and talking about an angel now, and asked him the truth of all this. And so he told me and made me to know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. They're the ones that had their dominions taken away. But watch this 18th verse. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is a kingdom which he has given to us. Jesus, the King of all kings, Jesus, the Lord of all lords, we are going to rule with him and we're going to reign with him forever. Now, if you're not a child of God, you don't have any inheritance in this kingdom. This kingdom is for the saints of the Most High. I'm so glad to be a citizen of the United States of America, but I would rather be a citizen of communist China and be a citizen of the kingdom of God than to be a citizen of the United States of America and not be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? I would rather be a citizen of the worst earthly kingdom and have my eternal citizenship in the kingdom of God than to enjoy all of these earthly benefits, but not to be part of God's kingdom. How do you become a part of God's kingdom? You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that God raised him from the dead after he had suffered for your sins. You believe that with your heart and with your mouth you confess before other men, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And you follow him. And you live for him and you let him live inside you. You become a Christian. You're born again. You become a new person. That happens by making a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and making a public acknowledgement with your mouth that he is your Savior and the Lord of your life. And you seek to follow him every day of your life. That makes you a saint of the Most High God. And it gives you citizenship in his eternal kingdom. I want you to know that when you become a citizen of the kingdom of God, things are different. Praise God, they're different. So as we're remembering today, the blessings that have become ours because we are natural born or naturalized citizens of the greatest nation that the earth has ever known, the United States of America. Let us not forget that they are not the blessings bestowed upon us by our government. These blessings were not bestowed upon us by those that are in authority over us. These blessings have been granted to us by the one who rules in the kingdoms of men. Would you bow your head with me, please, for prayer? Heavenly Father, once again, we want to publicly say and collectively say, thank you, Father, for this glorious land. Yet we would not say and make the same mistake Nebuchadnezzar made. Look at what we have done. Look at the kingdom that we have built by our power and for our own majesty. I pray, Father, that you will make especially Christians, but beyond that, all of our citizens acutely aware this 4th of July season that you're the one that rules in the kingdoms of men, and you set up over it whomsoever you will. And so when we reflect on our 200 plus years of independence and freedom and blessing, guard all of our people. Guard our president and our constituted authorities. Guard all of our citizenry from the same error that Nebuchadnezzar committed when with a heart full of pride he gave credit to man. Lest you should have to cut down this tree also and send this nation forth on all fours groveling in the field for grass. Lest it should lose all that you've given. Let the body of Jesus Christ stand forth and be an influence for good in our communities and declare publicly and boldly that the reason that our country is so blessed is because God has richly and abundantly blessed. And that as a nation, it is essential to our future, to our security, to the quality of life that we enjoy and to the blessedness that is ours, that we publicly profess and declare that it's only because of the blessings of God that we are enjoying what we enjoy. Thank you, Father, for those who are in authority over us, who are godly, who recognize the things that we have declared this morning, and for the godly and spiritual influence that they exert over our nation. We pray that you will draw more and more godly men and women into government service. Help us to know, Lord, how to exercise our influence in the proper way. Help us to know how to pray for our country. for our leaders, for our citizens. Thank you most of all, Father, today for the Lord Jesus, for the kingdom over which he has eternal rule, for the dominion which has been established in our hearts. If there is anyone here this morning, Father, in the service that has not yet acknowledged the Lordship of Jesus Christ, has not made him king in a personal way, I pray that the ministry of your word would draw that person to the person of Jesus, that he or she will do exactly as I expressed this morning. Give himself without reservation to Jesus as Lord and King, and publicly declare his Lordship in a personal way. In the name of Jesus now, Father, we want as we go forth from here today to be effective in doing the work of the heavenly kingdom within the framework of the earthly kingdom of which you've made us a part. We can only do that by the leading and the inspiration of the power and the enabling of your Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves to that Spirit. In the wonderful name of Jesus, whose Spirit it is.